John Congemi has joined us in studio. He was out at practice today.
It's nice to get rid
of
Keith, I can tell you that.
Huh?
Yeah, it smells a little better.
Even for a short period of time, it's nice to get
you. You should have heard what he said about you on the way out of here. I don't know. I think he was talking about me, too.
Ryan Tannehill. Let's start. We haven't even mentioned Ryan Tannehill. We're talking about the new guys and who was here and who was not here. Ryan Tannehill, the second-year quarterback, an opportunity really to make this team his own. What did you see out of 17 today?
I saw a lot of good things. You know, the most interesting thing I saw about Ryan Tannehill was the first pass today in a team drill got batted down, and I didn't bat an eye. I didn't even worry about it. Last year at this time, if that pass would have gotten batted down, this is well before the Houston game, but everybody wanted to go back and say, well, this is a guy that has problems in college about throwing the football past the line of scrimmage. He had 17 batted balls in his career at Texas A&M, whatever that number was. Today, the ball was batted down, and I went, big deal. And he went back in the huddle, he ran the next play, and practice carried on. And I think that's what the guys on this football team are going to do with Ryan Tannehill. I don't think they're worried about number 17 one bit, because they found out through 16 games last year what he does well, what he needs to improve on, and more importantly, he found that out. And it's his football team right now. So he went out there and he went to work. He went to practice, and everybody followed. And that's what I saw.
Yeah, he clearly is he's the lead dog on this football team. He is the guy that people look at. He's the guy that people look to. He owns that huddle. It's his. And he knows what he's doing. He talked about it today. He's so far ahead of where he was last year. And the thing I like about Ryan, he threw some good balls out there today. He threw some balls that weren't so good out there today. But I'm like you, John. I'm not so worried about that. Those things will work themselves out. But when you got a guy that had the year that he had last year and went back and looked at every single down, every single ball he threw, everything that he did, and worked to make improvement on you, it shows you a guy that people are going to, whether you've been in the league for 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, or 10 years, you're going to be willing to follow a guy like that, because you know he's gone in and put the time in to get himself better than what he was last year. And no matter what he does this year going forward, he's going to be the same guy next year during the offseason trying to get better. And that's the kind of guy that you want stepping into that huddle and leading your football team.
What about Mike Wallace? We saw him out there for the first time. It's funny because all we've heard about Mike Wallace from outside people is, oh, they'll just send him deep. They'll just send him deep. Every time I noticed him today, he was running something across the middle.
Yeah, it looked nice to see him coming across the middle, because when he catches that slant, he can turn that into such a big play. I think the other thing Mike Wallace was looking for was the oxygen tank today, because I think he underestimated how hot and how humid it could be in South Florida. So, you know, you take a look at a guy like Mike Wallace, who you know you're going to get productivity out of. Destin Keller, you know you're going to get that type of productivity catching the football down the middle. I think Gibson, you know, had his moments where he didn't look great, but then all of a sudden he looked fluid when it came to 7-on-7 and team drills. I think all those, the nucleus of the new receivers and the new guys on the team, and I'll throw Tyson Klebo in there too. He looked like a man out there today just because of his athleticism. He was able to run around and wear his old number, which was 77. So it didn't make you worry about, you know, the tackle position. Jonathan Martin kicking over. All those new guys, once they get acclimated to how they practice and the tempo of practice in a Joe Philbin team for the Miami Dolphins, I think this whole group will be much better.
But one of the things we were talking about when we were watching was you got a little nastiness up front on this offensive line.
Well, I mean, everyone knows Richie Incognito. Everyone knows what you know, he doesn't mind, you know, having a wayward elbow come out of the pile and land on somebody's jaw. He doesn't mind those types of things. And I think you've got some of that also in Mike Pouncey. We saw Pouncey since the day he stepped here with the Dolphins. He wasn't going to be pushed around by any of the veterans, and he'll give back as much as he did. I think we saw Jonathan Martin last year give a little bit. Now you add Klebo to it, another guy that's got a reputation for being a no-nonsense, I'm not going to let you push me around type of a guy. And now I think you look at a very strong, very aggressive front five up there that gives you the kind of attitude I think that most guys that play or have been around football like to see in their offensive line.
The one other thing, guys, that I really noticed on the defensive side of the football, man, we look fast.
Yeah.
You know, we really do. We look like we run well as a unit. I like the addition of Jared Odrick kicking down and Olivier Vernon trying to step up in year number two on that defensive end. I know Jordan's not here right now, but I think if you're looking first, second, third down players, you know, you're going to need a guy in there to spell the rookie at defensive end. So I like how athletic we looked up front. We didn't even have Randy, you know, out there today. So I think we're going to be very athletic at the front seven, meaning linebackers. We got a little faster. The corners, you mentioned it earlier in the show, guys. Brent Grimes looked like, yeah. I mean, he's beaten half the time. No, he's not. He's got that catch-up speed and that gather speed that you didn't have on this football team, and I think that's an asset.
Yeah, you're talking about what happened on the defensive line. No Randy Starks today, so Audric kicked inside to play defensive tackle, and Olivier Vernon started opposite of Cameron Wake, if you want to call it starting at this point in the offseason. And Vernon will be on the show tomorrow, so we'll talk to him about everything that's taking place up there. The cornerbacks besides Grimes, it'll be interesting. Richard Marshall was out there participating, which was nice to see coming off of the injury. You got the Dimitri Patterson of the world out there, some other guys, they're going to get this opportunity, especially with Jamar Taylor not here for the moment. You know, obviously that negatively impacts Jamar Taylor, not to a huge extent, but he's not out there. That's not the best, but that does open up some opportunities for some other guys.
Well, you know, Nolan Carroll got a lot of reps today. He's a guy that needs to improve, and he's a guy that can really look at some of the veterans on this football team to try to improve, and Brent Grimes is one of those guys. Not an overly big guy is Nolan Carroll. Same way, you know, same stature. Brent's definitely smaller than him, but he can look and see how the technique used on the corner, you know, guys that play at a level that you're trying to get to. It's always nice to take a rep off and take a look and see what they're doing. Ask questions, because there's going to be a lot of competition at the wide receiver spot for those 4 and 5 spots, and as well at corner. And I think Jimmy Wilson had a nice day today, kicking from the safety spot, moving around. So those are two positions I really want to look for in further in the OTAs and in mini camps and in training camp, where who's going to come up and grab, you know, those 4th and 5th wide receiver spots. Who's going to come up and grab and play the nickel and play the dime? Those will be important.
Well, somebody's got to do it. And what concerns me about in that secondary, we've talked about the corner, a lot of guys there, a lot of guys that have some credentials. You got young guys in there in that mix. But, and we talked about this a little bit today. You know, I remember watching last year in the wide receiver position. You knew it was going to be Hartline. You knew it was going to be Best. And then you had a handful of other guys there that all had a little bit of potential. Oh, I like this guy does this. This guy does that. But one of them's got to step up and take the job. Well, nobody stepped up and took the job, and it became a revolving door at the wide receiver position, and you had nothing. You had 2 wide receivers, and you had the rest of the wide receivers that really were unproductive throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
And I kind of look over now at the cornerback position, and it looks very eerily similar to me in that type of situation where there are jobs available. There are guys that look like they can step up and take those jobs, but somebody's got to step up and actually do it. Now, you know, we'll see how things play out, but I just hope I don't have that same disappointment at the cornerback spot at the end of this season that I did at the end of last season at the wide receiver position.
We hope that we don't have this conversation going into August and September.
Exactly.
You know, we hope it clears itself by then.
Yeah, exactly. Throughout training camp and the preseason, and that's when these things are going to get cleared up, to be fair. It's not going to happen in May.
No.
It's not going to happen in June during the 3-day mini camp. It's going to happen during training camp, and those 5, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 preseason games, some good opportunities there. All right, John, thanks a lot.